You know, immediately following the service, we do have a lunch planned. For those of you who know about my wife's macaroni and cheese, there's two big pans of it, and so I hope that you stay and join us with that. And like she said, even if you didn't know about it, you didn't bring it, just stay. We'd love to have you and fellowship with you and give you something to eat. there'll be plenty, I'm sure. For those, you know, just going back to the macaroni and cheese, I am not a macaroni and cheese guy by any means. But when my wife makes it, yeah, you better get there before me. Anyway, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son Jesus who died for our sins. And God, he didn't leave us, but he comes and he fills us with his presence. With your spirit, O God, come and touch each and every heart today. I pray that our minds would be transformed, that our hearts would be cleansed, and we would leave this place different than we came in, each and every one. Speak to our hearts and change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's a preacher friend of mine who talks about a sermon he preached. He went somewhere, big conference, and he got up front and he talked to him about, who's under the law, you know. And when we hear that phrase, who's under the law, we think about the law of Moses. And we know that, you know, all the laws and all the stuff that they used to, you know, the children of Israel had to obey and do all those things. We know that Jesus fulfilled all those things. And we know that, you know, it's not necessarily for us to go through all those things. You know, aside from the Ten Commandments, by the way, I just make mention the Ten Commandments were given before all the other laws. The Ten Commandments are universal, and they are intended for us to keep. And Jesus summed them up into two things, love God and love your neighbor, right? But anyway, when we talk about the law, so he'd ask this big crowd, hundreds of people, you know, who's under the law? And no hands raised up, and he said, you know what, I'm under the law. And they're looking at him like, oh no, where's he going? He's going to drive us off the track. He said, I'm under the law of life through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The law that says sin and death are no more. Here's a law, the law of Christ. I think that God intends for us to fulfill his law. Not necessarily all those ceremonial things and all that stuff in the Old Testament, although that is good reading and it is good, you know, a good example for us to see how detailed and how particular that, you know, God expects his people to do certain things. But in the flesh, we know that we can't do it. They couldn't do it then. We can't do it now. But in the Spirit, God wants us to fulfill the law of Christ. As my wife also mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking tonight. We're going to continue in our study. We've been reading through a book called The Externally Focused Church. And I've been finding, and I've got a verse here that for those of you who were here last week for that are going to enjoy. But being externally focused. If you want to fulfill the law of God, we have to be externally focused. How many know somebody who's self-centered? Oh, yeah. How many of you yourself are self-centered? Oh, well, we've got a couple honest people here. It says, bear one another's burdens. What's that mean? It means you can't be self-centered. Amen. It means we have to consider what's going on in the life of our neighbor. We have to be alert, know what their needs are. To the best of our ability, help them. How many know that God gives to you? And he wants you to be a good steward. That's why we take up offerings. You know what that's all about? It's all about being good stewards with the finances that God has given us. That's his law. That's what he wants. And I could preach a whole message on being good stewards of God's money and tithing and the importance of it and the blessing of it and the obedience of it. You want to find out if somebody's truly following Jesus Christ with all their heart, they will give cheerfully, the Bible says. And I don't want to, and I got new people here. I hate talking about money when there are new people here, because I don't want anybody to think, oh, it's all about the money. No, it's not. It's all about obedience, and it's all about bearing one another's burdens. You know that the money that we take in, a great chunk of it goes right back out to missionaries out around the world who are helping build churches, helping build orphanage, and preaching the gospel to people who have never heard it. I wish I had a video. I don't have it with me. most of the people who've been here for a long time know Matt Richardson. He is brother to the former pastor's wife. He's a missionary in Ecuador. And he's got a video online where he's out in the jungle, and they have this thing. They have a specific name for it. I forget what they call it. What do they call it? It's an electronic box that they can go anywhere in the jungle with this particular language. And this particular language is spoken all throughout, you know, great areas of Ecuador. And they take this electronic box, and they can show up. And even if, you know, they run into somebody in the jungle who's never seen a white person, never heard any English, they turn on this box, and they hear the gospel in their own language. Isn't that awesome? That's what giving does. It tells somebody else about Jesus. I know we have Tim Anderson. He's a missionary here that we support. He's in Ecuador as well. Started the first teen challenge. I think it's the only teen challenge in Ecuador. How many know every country in the world suffers the same stuff we suffer, right? People fall into the same traps, get into the same troubles. And there's a teen challenge down there helping people get out of the stuff and find Jesus Christ and new life. Yes, Paul. That's right. I didn't see him today. We have a young man that comes to this church. For those of you who don't know, his name is Doug Bates. And I think he's around 15 now. He started a couple years ago bearing somebody else's burden. He would go out and he would find tin cans and he would find scrap metal and he would take in donations and he would take all the money that he could raise, and he puts on a yard sale every year. Many of you are very, very generous in giving to him, and I appreciate that. And they put on a yard sale. And the yard sale, he doesn't put a price on anything. All he does is says, this is what I'm doing with the money. And he's got a little 5-gallon bucket there of dirty water, and it's got a little filter on it, and what comes out the other side is clean water that you can drink. He says, I'm going to take your money, and I'm going to send it to some third world country, and I'm going to give clean water to villages that don't have it. He's 13 years old when he started this, or 12 or 13. Every dollar he takes in, they send out. And I know his boy, they're on top of it too. For instance, if somebody brings in, he doesn't put a dollar amount on stuff because he let you if you find something in his yard sale, you donate. He said, whatever you want to pay, I'll take it. And people are generous and they give. And he has provided water to hundreds of villages. It's amazing what this kid has done. That's what giving does, bearing someone else's burdens. That's funny, as my wife walks through the back with a pitcher of water. She is. Anyway, I don't want to, this isn't even about the money and all that. But being good stewards, bearing one another's burdens. You know, so the law of Christ, fulfill the law of Christ. How many know, you know, that as a believer, it's important for us to fulfill the things that God wants us to do? It's important. I want you to understand, and if you're a visitor today, and again, I don't know everybody in the room, so I don't know where everybody's at. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never, you know, asked Him to forgive you of your sin and just accepted Him into your life and chosen to follow Him, I would encourage you to do that. But I want you to know something. He has a plan for you. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. And there's something he wants even you to do. Nobody is exempt from the law of Christ. Nobody. And so we either accept him and we fulfill his law, or we choose not to accept him, and then another law comes into effect. And I don't even want to talk about that today. And so what is the law of Christ? Galatians 5:14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word." I think it's kind of funny. It says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, but then there's a sentence. The word being the principle of what the sentence says, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You want to fulfill the law of God? You got to love your neighbor. Anybody here have a little issue with your neighbor? Yeah. I'm really curious if God puts just the worst, miserable, nastiest people next to believers on purpose. Huh? I'm really curious about that. An obstacle you have to overcome, a burden you have to bear. But you know what? If that's who they are, who else is going to love them? Right? If the believer won't love them, who will? And so for us to fulfill the law of Christ, we got to love our neighbors. How many know somebody's not easy to love? How many of us are not easy to love? My wife knew exactly what I was going to say. Vince, I'm glad you came today. That's all right. Honey, pray with them before. Don't let them get away. Give them a hug on the neck. Bless them before they go. Father, we pray for Vince and for Ann right now that you just bless them. Be with them as they leave today. I just pray your power and your love will just cover them, that they'll be feeling better. And Lord, their sickness will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks, for kind of... Sorry to put you on the spot, folks, but I just couldn't let you go. God is awesome. Bear one another's burdens. I'm preaching a message about loving your neighbor, bear one another's burdens. You ain't walking out of here without prayer, brother. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I did a little check, and you see there the word visit, and you see the definition of that particular word, what it meant in the original language that was spoken. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this: to look upon or after, to inspect and examine with the eyes in order to see how he is. And the second part of that definition is to look upon in order to help or to benefit, to look after, have care for, and provide for. That's what pure religion, undefiled before God, is. To seek out those who are in need and help them. You know, we've been talking a lot about externally focused churches, and I'm going to keep beating on that drum because it is so true and is so powerful. We can have, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ in our hearts, but if we're not willing to go out and feed somebody who's hungry, then we don't know God. Here's a verse that I mentioned for those who were here last Sunday evening when we were talking about being an externally focused church. For 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 through 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You see, the two go together, word and work. If you were here last Sunday evening, this is what we talked about. The church, you know, we need good word. We need good teaching. We need good doctrine. We need good word. But it goes hand in hand. It's not good word or good works. It's good word and good works. It takes both. And you know what? As I look out at people I know, there are a lot of people I think are closer to God than what I realize. Because I know people who haven't confessed salvation, they haven't confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord yet, but they do a lot of good stuff for people. Isn't that interesting? How many know somebody who does really good stuff? They're always there. If there's a need, boom, they're on it, right? But they just haven't confessed Christ yet. Well, you know what? I think they're right on the verge. They've got half of the deal down. They've already got the good works. You tell that person about Jesus, and you get them to turn their heart toward Him, and you share the gospel with them, and they believe and they receive Christ. They've already got the hallelujah. They got the law fulfilled already because of the good word and the good works. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. Little interesting portion of scripture here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 15. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. And so now he's talking about somebody who is being disorderly and not fellowshipping with him. And it says in verse 7, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to anyone of you. And so here Paul's saying, you know what? We weren't disorderly among you. We worked. We helped. We didn't just eat your food up and expect more. No, we were busy. We were helping. We were working. And so think about that for a moment. You know, we all know somebody who doesn't want to work for anything. They just want to be fed. Let that not be a believer. Let that not be us. The Bible calls us disorderly if we don't get into work. Verse 9, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. An example. Example of what? Example of hard work. Example of getting in there and bearing burdens and helping out. And in verse 10 he says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, we like to think of that in a natural sense. If somebody won't help out in the fields, then they don't get to eat anything that the field produces. But think about that in a spiritual sense. If you're not busy about God's business, if you're not helping out in the church, if you're not helping out in the gospel, if you're not helping out spreading the word in the community, well, if you apply it that way, then what's it mean you don't eat? How many of us know somebody who's left the church? Well, I'm not being fed there. You know why you're not being fed there? Because you're not working there. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Oh, boy. We don't know any busybodies, right? No. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. Verse 13, do not grow weary in well-doing. What's that say? Do not grow weary in well-speaking? No. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Well-doing. You know what? Let me just say this. You know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm rebuking the church or anything. It's not about that. Because there are a lot of great people here that do a lot of good work. I praise the Lord that, see all those tables set up back there? Hallelujah, I didn't touch one of them. Because people stepped up and did a good work. There's a sister back there right now filling up a water thing so that you guys can have coffee and tea later. That's a good work. Later, when it comes time to clean up, there's some good work that's going to need to be done, right? And Lloyd's going to do it. And maybe there'll be someone else that'll help. But you know what? You go beyond that. Let's go to the neighbors. Hey, what do you need? Are you lacking anything? Is there something we can help you with? You know, it's not just about us, although there is a blessing in that. You know, if we keep reading, it says, verse 13, do not grow weary in well-doing. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The blessing somewhere else talks about even do so more for those in the faith, and we'll get to that. And so here's the thing, you know, I have been invigorated. I mean, I'm just, as I said earlier, I'm having trouble containing myself. Because as of late, I've really been catching on to this and getting involved and going out and doing things. And I fellowship with, I got involved with a fatherhood connection thing where we help guys become better dads over in Seneca County. I help out, you know, I've been asked, and I go down and I work with couples at the CareNet Pregnancy Care Center, you know, for people who young men and women who just have babies and they need some instruction, some help. And, you know, it goes beyond just showing up and telling them about Jesus. You know, some of those folks we give diapers to. Some of those folks we give stuff to. One of the guys over at the Fatherhood Connection, I found out he was homeless. I gave him a bed. You know, I mean, just getting involved in people, helping out where the need is. And I'm telling you what, the more I do, I go out to the jail and I minister out there in different things, and the more I get involved, the more I do, the more excited I get. The more fulfilled I get. The more of God's presence I feel in the place, and the more I just feel like this last year of ministry for me has just set me over the top, and I feel like, wow. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's hard to contain. I want you to know something. If you can do something for somebody else, do it. It'll make you. You want your day to get better. You want to be happy at the end of the day. How many of us go to bed miserable and frustrated and can't? Oh man, every day is a Monday, huh? Well, let me tell you something. If you do one thing, just one thing for somebody else during that day, you'll go to bed with peace in your heart. All believers need to be partakers of the work. All of us. James chapter 2. Oh, wait. What's John 13? That's not in my notes. I might have to go look at it. Let's still go see what John chapter 13 has to say. Oh, okay. Yes, it is in my notes. It's just after this part. This is Jesus' example, John chapter 13. But the verse there, faith... Well, that's not the verse. I got a verse here that I didn't put on the note. Or did it? It's on the last slide? Sorry, folks. Faith without works is... dead, right? Every believer needs to be a partaker of the work to get involved. Jesus gave us an example in John chapter 13, as soon as I find it. And I'm going to read more than necessary, but that's okay, because there's some of this stuff is very interesting. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter said, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus said, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." You see, Jesus was making a huge point here. It's important to be a doer. It's important to get involved in the work. And if you don't have any part of him. Simon said, "Lord, not my feet only then, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." Verse 12, "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.'" What was Jesus doing there? He was serving. He was showing us an example. You know what? Nobody's better than anybody else. Nobody. And if Jesus, our Lord and Savior, will get in and do the dirty work, you know, as I was reading this, I was thinking about, I'm wondering, why did Jesus feel the need to have to wash their feet? Did some of them have some pretty stinky ones or something? Anybody ever been in a room where somebody's got just some really nasty smelling feet? Yeah. How would you like to have to wash that person's feet? Yeah. Jesus says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." You want to fulfill the law of Christ? Do it. Get busy and do it. And you know, it's interesting in that story that it points out that Jesus already knew that Judas was going to betray him. And guess what? He still washed his feet. It's not about how good the person is. It isn't, even if it's your enemy, if he has a need, you meet it. Right? That was Jesus' example. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Jesus gave everything. Remember what he told the young ruler, the rich guy? "Sell all that you have, give it to the poor. Come and follow me." He wasn't telling the guy to do something that he wasn't already doing. Jesus didn't own anything, except perhaps the clothes on his back. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a cell phone. Okay, a donkey or a scribe. A couple cans with a string. He didn't have none of that. But he went out and did. He went out and blessed. He went out and healed. He went out and helped. And he even got to the point where he would, "You know what? If your feet are dirty, I'll wash them too." That was Jesus' the example of Jesus. Look at Paul's example in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is just one place of Scripture. There's plenty of more examples. But Paul's example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more." Now see, Paul, he explains why. Jesus said, "Do it." Paul said, "I do it, and let me tell you why I do it." He said, though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. What's he mean there by under law, but under law toward Christ? Bear one another's burdens. He knew what the law of Christ was. That I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might be all, by all means, save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. You see, Paul is saying, I do, because I want to be a partaker of the very same thing that I'm offering you. We will not be partakers of everlasting life if we don't get busy and get involved in the doing of the work of God. If you look down at verse 27, he says, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He disciplined himself to help others. How many of us, you know, Geneva is a fascinating place. You know that? In Geneva, there are multitudes of cultures, different ethnicities. You know what I mean? Ethnic groups. You know what the Apostle Paul, based on what he just said there, you know what he would do? He would go visit them all. And he would say, hey, what can I do for you? You have a need? I'm here to fulfill it. Amen? You know, there's a group that meets called Tools for Social Change. And I've visited a few, and I'm not really fond of the direction they're going, but I want to go, and I want to see social change. And you know what the world really needs when it comes to social change? What it really needs is people who will step up and love one another. People who step up and bless one another. People who step up and forgive one another. Because when we will love our brother, when we will bear our neighbor's burdens, whoever that neighbor is, that's change. That's the change I believe that God wants you and I to take part in. And you might be thinking, well, I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't know what I can do. What can I possibly do? I don't have anything myself. You got a heart to love? Go love somebody. And you know what? God is awesome. I didn't write it down. There's a verse that talks about if you give, nobody that gives up, you know, mothers, fathers, houses, sons, daughters, all this stuff. Nobody gives that up for Christ's sake that they don't receive even more on this earth and in heaven. I don't have the reference here, but it's in there. Trust me. No, don't trust me. Go look for yourself. It's in there. That's one thing I often like to, you know, just encourage. I'm flesh. I'm a man. I could get it wrong. I could get a wrong thought. I could quote a scripture wrong. And so if I say something and you're like, huh, I'm not so sure, go look. And see for yourself. If I'm wrong, please let me know, because then I need to, you know, be humble enough and say, hey, you're right, I'm wrong. But let's say you have nothing. And the truth of it is, everybody here has something. Everybody has something. And so if you have a coat and all of a sudden you have two coats, start looking for the person who doesn't have one coat, right? If you have food, that it's like, and you find yourself cooking all this food and you got stuff going to waste just because you're not eating it all, go find somebody that doesn't have food. Give that to them. You know, through the connections and all the trying to become a better servant myself, I found a lot of different connections, and I found a church. If you need food, my gosh, you won't go hungry. Every 2 weeks, you can show up there, and they'll give you enough food to get you through to the next 2 weeks, and you can get more. I found another church where they have clothing. You need clothing? Just let me know. I'll tell you exactly where you can go. You can get some for free. We're working on furniture. That seems to be the thing God's done to us. We're finding out somebody needs a bed, somebody needs a chair, somebody needs a table. And we just put the word out there, hey, we need a bed, we need a chair, we need a table. And the next thing you know, boom, here it is. Because people get the law of Christ, and people understand bearing one another's burdens. In fact, I know where there's two dressers right now, beautiful ones. One is like 9 feet long, and then another one, and it's like on the third floor in some guy's attic. He said he's tried to give it away 3 times, but nobody wants to carry it down the stairs because it's heavy. The stairs are narrow. And so some night I might call one of you younger guys, because... and Lloyd. One of you younger guys and Lloyd. Lloyd helped me at one of the last ones, up the stairs, around the corner. With the Amen. You understand what I'm talking about. James chapter 2, verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. How hard is it? Really? How hard is it? You got aught against your neighbor? Get over it. Really? Especially, if again, I don't know everybody here, and so if I'm talking, if this all sounds crazy to you, I'm sorry. You'll catch on if you keep coming. But for those who are believers, you know. If you have an ought against somebody, go make amends. Or if somebody has an ought against you, go make amends. Don't mess around with that stuff. Don't hold grudges. Don't have resentment. Don't do that. Blows your mind, doesn't it? You sat right in the front. What do you want? Everybody else, a mental note, never sit in the front. You do well if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. What is the royal law according to the scripture? Love your neighbor. It's so easy if we would get over our own self once in a while and just love our neighbor. Wouldn't it be a shock if you got a neighbor that you've been feuding with for years and years? Wouldn't it be a shock if you just walked over there and said, hey, you know what, I'm sorry, and just walk away? And then the next day walk over, hey, you know what, I'm really sorry, and go walk away. Of course, you might need to add a little to that, because he's going to be thinking, oh my, what'd he do? Yeah, he did something. I know he did something. Jesus knew that Judas was about to betray him, and he knew the ramifications of that. He was going to be killed because of it, yet he still washed his feet. That is powerful. Last verse, Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. This is where I was talking about the blessing, the little extra bit for those who are believers. Shame on us if we know somebody in this church right now, this moment, who's struggling, who has a need, and we have what they need, and we don't help them. As we have opportunity. And guess what? I've been saying this for a while now, and I've found it to be so true. If you will make yourself available to God, He will use you. He will give you opportunities like you won't even believe. If He sees that you're faithful with your stuff, hey, you know what? I gave Lloyd a chainsaw. What's Lloyd do with that chainsaw? He goes over to Janelle's house and cuts down a tree for her. Isn't that awesome? As people have need, as you have opportunity, God gave Lloyd opportunity. He blessed somebody with it. Amen. Stand with me. I hope lunch is ready. Anybody know? Please don't leave. Especially if you're new, please don't just don't leave without saying hi to somebody, you know, greeting somebody, and by all means, I would appreciate if you stayed for lunch. Let us bless you this afternoon with lunch. Believe me, the macaroni and cheese is awesome. You're gonna love it. But it's God's desire that we all are doers of the word, that we all fulfill the law of Christ. Honey, is lunch ready? Awesome. That we all fulfill his law, right? Man's law says, get all you can, take all you can, step on everybody you can. Don't worry about who you hurt, just get where you're going. That's man's law. God's law says, bear one another's burdens. Help one another. Bless one another. Provide for one another. Visit one another. Those types of things. By the way, talking about visiting one another, if God puts it on your heart, during the winter season, Chris and Ale don't get out very often. Those who know them, you know, give them a call. Go visit them. Stella over here and Don is still in Living Center North. You know, those who know who I'm talking about, take it upon yourself and go and pay them a visit and bless them. Or anyone else that God puts on your heart. You know, he does that for a reason. You know that? How many times God has put somebody on my heart, next thing I know, boom, there they are. And there's been times I know I've missed it. I shared a story the other day where I was walking down the sidewalk and I knew somebody worked in this building, and I thought, you know, this thought went through my head, hey, go visit so-and-so, you know, and I'm thinking, you know what, they're probably busy and working, and I didn't do it, and I kept going, and I found out later that afternoon that so-and-so that I didn't go visit, her husband had gone to the hospital with an issue and needed prayer. You know, so listen to your heart. When God puts it in there, do it. Do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and your inspiration and the joy of serving, Lord. And I just pray that each person here finds that joy in serving you, finds that thrill of fulfilling the law by loving our neighbors. Help us, God, to be humble in ourselves and to be able to get over our own issues that we have with other people and look past them. Even if they're going to betray us, God, may we not be like that. May we be like our Lord and Savior, where we will serve them and bless them and provide for them. Your word tells us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Your word tells us, oh God, even if our enemy is thirsty, to give him a drink. Lord, that we would be doers of the word and we would be fulfillers of the law of Christ. Lord, as we have opportunity, and I pray that you show us more and more each day where the opportunities are, because they're certainly there. Help us to lay aside our own agendas. Help us to lay aside, God, our own busyness, the stuff that it doesn't even matter. We're just wasting time. And inspire us, God, to go bear the burdens of our neighbors. Lord, I pray that we'd be full of your word, and I pray that we'd be full of your works. It takes both. And so, Father, feed us and show us what it is you want us to do. If there's any here this morning who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never actually looked, you've never actually sought him, I want you to seek him right now. The Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. I want you to consider asking him into your heart to forgive you of your sins and to make you brand new and to give you new life. That's the reason why this morning you saw people singing and clapping and just enjoying his presence. That's why, because we're free. We've been forgiven of our sin, and he's given us new life, and he wants to do that for you. And so please, Don't leave this place. If you feel His Spirit drawing your heart right now, don't leave this place without calling on His name and asking Him to come in to save you. And don't leave this place, if that's you this morning, without either come to me or come to somebody and just let them know that today I have received Jesus as my Savior. Let somebody know. It's very important. But God bless each one that is here with your presence and with your power. As we go out to fulfill your law, I pray that our communities would be so transformed by the love that they see that comes from you and flows through us as we are doers of your word. Bless each one today. And God, I pray right now a blessing over this meal that we're about to partake of. I thank you for it. And I pray that everyone who gets a taste of it is blessed by it as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all, folks.